We can't change how we start. You know what I mean? Some people born in a beautiful setting, white picket fence, cute little house, dog running in the front yard, birds singing. Some people are brought into families that are just, it's rough. Some were not supposed to come and find themselves pregnant, out of wedlock, or whatever. And they think, oh man, what a beginning for our kid. Can I say something to you? God decides birth, and God decides death, and He's got you in between.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
You may be seated, church. Man, good to see each of you. Thanks for being here. Happy Memorial Day weekend to each of you and your family. May your grill get hot and may your meat be tender. Amen. I just killed the crowd. I'm just telling you. And then checked y'all out. So, well, blessings to each of you. Really glad to see you. Glad you're here. Very thankful for our time together. What a great crowd for Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for being here. It is Memorial Day. It is a time for us as a country to remember all that we got, man. We're rich. And for the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for us to get to do what we get to do right now. I had a grandfather that came home to his wife, and I had a grandfather that didn't come home to his wife. And I always, this weekend's always precious to me because at that time, I was not even a thought in my mom and dad's eyes, but what they fought for, and many have fought for, I get the privilege to do in America, and it's to stand and have church and be a pastor and not be under attack and not have to hide, but we have freedom to come and worship. And if nothing else, man, can we give it up for the Lord for that? Amen. Man, so grateful. We take it for granted sometimes, man, that we just get to do this, but it's precious. If you travel in this country, you travel anywhere in the world, what we do is precious. Precious, precious. So here's my question to you. I titled my message this morning, So Why Not Ask? So why not ask? So how many of you in here like being blessed? You like being blessed? Amen. Some of y'all are thinking about that grill thinking, I'm about to be blessed, man. We love to be blessed, man. We love to be blessed. And all through scripture, it just talks about how much the Father wants to bless us. Bless us. And I want to look at that today. I want to look at that. A lot of times, you know, someone will sneeze and we'll say, bless you. But, and that's sweet, right? But you know, you don't have to sneeze just to get blessed. God's not waiting up there going, if you just sneeze, I bless you. He wants to bless you. And sometimes we meet people and we're like, bless your heart. Somebody let you out of the house wearing that? Bless your heart. I can go to Walmart sometimes and that's the only thing I can think about. Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. I had that Mendia moment and I'm like, blessings to you. But and then sometimes they drive that way and I'm like, bless your heart, all of us around you, right? But we love to be blessed, and we can say blessing to people. We can bless on people, and that's what God wants. Let me give to you the biblical definition. It's not sneezing, obviously, but the biblical definition of blessing or being blessed. To bless in a biblical sense means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. To ask for or to impart to supernatural favor. There's not a person in the room that wouldn't sign up for that. Would not. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4 says this, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Nothing like the favor of God. I've had people in my life, my wife used to say this to me, I don't even know why they do what they do for you. They don't even know you. I bet, baby, what am I supposed to do? Not take it, not eat it, not do it. I mean, this is not my idea. This is, I'm blessing them by eating this. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to kill their blessing. You know, she's like, he don't even know you. He don't even go to your church. You're not even his pastor. I'm like, Proverbs 3, take it up with that. I don't fight the Bible. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. And so it is good to be blessed. It's good. In the favor of the Lord, it's on us, man. We're his kids. We're king's kids, man. It's on us. Psalm 5, verse 12 says this, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Boy, that's rich, man. You ever went in the Bible and looked up all the times that the Lord says, and bless you, and he will bless you, and I will bless you, and I will bless you. I want to take you to one. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Not the main text, but just one I want to share with you. Look at Genesis chapter 12, beginning verse 1. How it all began, basically. And the letter said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. Look at verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That's beautiful. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. That's us. That's God's people. That's the Israelites. That's the commissioning from Abram, who will soon be Abraham, the father of nations, to the promised land, to all of that, okay? We are grafted in. We are part of the heritage, if you want to speak. We are called to be a blessing, but God wants to bless us as his people so that we in turn can go bless. Blessings of being blessed comes with responsibility. It does. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. So I want you to go to the main text. Interesting little text, okay? This is in 1 Chronicles. Make sure you go to 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, okay? 1 Chronicles, Old Testament. 1 Chronicles. In this, you're gonna see there's 9 chapters of basically a family tree of Hebrew tribes. More than 500 names. Now listen to me. If you've ever committed or decided to commit on New Year's Eve to read the Bible through in a year, you usually do real well. You know what I'm talking about? Till you get to the First Chronicles. And then you're like, what in the fat is all those names? I can't even pronounce. They need vowels. There's no vowels in these names. I think if they really want to have a spelling bee contest, you know what I'm talking about? Let's figure out men from the boards. Let's crown a king. Pull out the book of Chronicles and let's start spelling, little kids, all right? That'll separate them right there, buddy. So you got all these names. There's 500 names of Hebrews in this sentence. Now, 44, this is interesting. 44 names in the First Chronicles. It's just crazy. You're going through and all of a sudden, the names stop. They do. They just stop. And we get 2 verses, and they are powerful. I want you to look at them. I want you to look at them. Some of you may have picked up this little book called The Prayer of Jabez. Powerful, man. I want to look at it this morning. in relation to us as a nation being so blessed on this Memorial Day weekend and how he wants to bless us, okay? We started with blessing. Look at verse 9. So you're 44 names in, okay? You get to verse 9 of chapter 4. Verse 9 of chapter 4, make sure you're in 1 Chronicles. And it just stops. I mean, they give a name and then it just stops. And then there's these two verses and they're powerful. Verse 9 says this, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10, Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain, and you will, and God granted his request. And then watch this. Immediately, verse 10 ends, and verse 11 picks up, and he goes right back to the names. The tribe of Judah. And you're like, the first time I read this, I was like, what just happened? What? It don't fit. It's like these two verses are not supposed to be in this text, in this book, in 1 Chronicles. They're like, is this Proverbs 32? I don't know what. There's not a Proverbs 32, by the way. I'm just trying to figure out where these fit. You're like, what just happened here? What made this so powerful? He stuck it in there. And then he jumps from it. It's like, what the fact just happened? I don't understand. So I want to look at it. I won't be able to look at all of it, but verses 9 and 10 is what I want to look at. And I won't finish 10. But I want to break it down with you. So verse 9 begins, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Oh my gosh. His brothers are like, seriously? What's wrong with us? I mean, how would you like to be, you ever got introduced by your parents or your brother and sister beside you and they say something really, 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 really cool about your brother and sister and they say, yeah, this is Jimmy. That's it? That's all I'm getting? Son, you lucky. I still use your name. Yeah. I mean, why did he throw the brothers under the bus? Here's Jabez, he's more honorable than his brothers. His brother's like, well, I knew she had favor. I just knew it. And that's kind of how it starts. I don't understand. We don't know anything about the brothers. That's just how he's brought to us in the scripture. He's more honorable than his brothers. And his mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, we don't know the pain here. We don't know if it's pain of childbirth. We don't know if the pain was in the family from finances or just where they were and time or anything. We don't know anything. But all we know is, we don't even know Jabez's mom's name, just mother. It just says, I gave birth to him in pain. I gave birth to him in pain. Can I say something to you? We can't change how we start. You know what I mean? Some people born, beautiful setting, white picket fence, cute little house, dog running in the front yard, bird singing. And some people are brought into families that are just, it's rough. Some were not supposed to come. They find themselves pregnant, out of wedlock or whatever. And they think, oh man, what a beginning for our kid. Can I say something to you? God decides birth and God decides death and he's got you in between. Amen. There is no birth that comes in any sort of pain that our God has not got compassion for and has got your, he's there, man. He's got them. He's got mama. He's got daddy. He's got baby because he's sovereign God. He breathes life. And at the end, when we take our last breath, he gives us the breath of heaven. Okay? So we don't know what happened here. But see, the same thing about our physical birth can be true and is true about our spiritual birth. If we really think about it, we all came. We were all birthed from pain, the pain of being lost. You remember your life before Christ? Pain. Pain. Helpless, hopeless, empty, hollow. Couldn't find your ground, couldn't get traction, couldn't find a purpose. What was wrong with me? Struggle. Maybe you worked for it, tried to do enough, tried to do big, good enough, never was enough, never thought you'd get. I mean, wherever you found yourself, saved early in life, saved late in life. I was 10 when I gave my life to Christ. I was at a church in Longview, Texas one time when an 89-year-old deacon walks down an outside aisle, barely gets to the front, gives his life to Christ, 89. We all, my friends, come from some pain when we're born again. Amen. We come from pain. We come out of that tomb and he gives us life and we walk out and he puts a robe of righteousness around us, a garment of salvation on us, a tux, if you would. And he says, go walk a new life. The old is dead and the new has come. Symbolic of what we just saw in the baptismal waters, amen. Free gift. Regardless of where you are today, all of us have this in common with Jabez, that we came from pain. We came from the pain of being lost. We were given a new name after salvation. We were given a new name. Jesus told Nicodemus, don't be fooled, don't be tricked. You must be born again. You were born once of water from mom, physical birth. You must be born of the Spirit too. If you have two birthdays today, then heaven is your home. If you've only got one birthday, you're still lacking one birthday to get to heaven. You must be born again. And that pain that you carry can be canceled when you're raised again to walk a new life in Christ Jesus. You all come from pain at some point, but we're given a new name. So you don't bear the name I used to bear. Yeah, my name is still Jeff, but when God looks at me, he says, that's my child. He's a king's kid. That's my son. I bear his name. So we all walk in that name. There's a time in our life maybe when post-salvation, we found ourselves not in a good place. Maybe we wandered. Maybe we got into stuff we shouldn't have got into. Maybe we decided to put back on our dead clothes, our grave clothes, our old clothes that we talked about. And we go do stuff and we don't, we miss it. We find our way kind of messed up again. And it's not because we're not born again. It's because we didn't cut off the things that need to be cut off. And we still allowed the stuff to happen or take place in our life that we should have been done away with. And we got dragged back into it. And if God has redeemed you from that, okay, if he set you free, then let the redeemed of the Lord say so, amen. Let you and me, we've been set free from junk, be set free and sing about that. There's a time in our life, even post-salvation, that God is still in the business of cleaning us up. He's still in the business of taking off those little things in our lives that do not glorify him. Remember, we are only here to glorify him. Only here to glorify him. And so Jabez, all we know about him is he was born in pain. But we have this in common with Jabez. We came from pain too, the pain of being lost, not knowing Christ, being not attached to him. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, he says this, and Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. I love that. Listen to me. He didn't just, sometimes in sports interviews, I love guys that say, I just want to thank the Lord, I just want to thank God and all this stuff. And sometimes when they say, I want to thank God, I don't know what that means exactly. Because if you're like me, there's a lot of gods in America. God of entertainment, God of my big house, my sweet truck, my family, God of my money. And sometimes they want to thank God. I'm like, God who? If catch stuff, God who? Who you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? God who? You know what I mean? I wish they would just go a little bit further to let me know who that God is. Who that God is. Jabez says, I want you to understand the one that I'm crying out to. I'm crying out to the God of Israel. Woo, that's separated. God of Israel. The one true God. The everlasting God. The Alpha God. The Omega God. Jehovah God. The one true God. The one coming again. The one that gave me life, the one that led my people of Israel to the promised land and who made a nation and blessed them and said, I want to bless you. That's my God. And that's the God I'm crying out to. The one true God, the great I am. He knows who he's crying out to. Undoubtedly knows who it is. And he says this, oh, that you would bless me. If you read in the King James Version, if you have a new King James, it says that you would bless me indeed with a little explanation, a little much. Because, you know, if you go get ice cream, if one scoop is good, two scoop is better. Amen. So he says, I don't want you just to bless me, but I want you to bless me indeed. If you look at Psalm 1, he says, he just goes through. This blessed are thee, blessed are you, blessed is he, blessed are you, blessed are you. And then he goes on in that, verse 6 says, blessed is he who's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. We know that the stream of water is the Holy Spirit of God coming up in us every single day. Okay, we know that. Psalm 23, one that we love to death. He says, I'll give you tall, green, lush pastures, and I'll lead you beside quiet waters, and I'll restore your soul. That's the God that wants to bless us. James 1:17 says this, for every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above. Amen. Every good and perfect gift. Psalm 34:8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's what I know about ribeyes. You eat a good one, somebody gonna know about it. Amen. I'm killing y'all, I know. But what I'm saying is, how many of you eat good food at a good restaurant or a good place or find a good ribeye and don't tell somebody about it? I guarantee you're talking about it. If you cooked it, you really talking about it. Best ribeye I ever made. I'm just telling you, didn't even need a knife. I was just like, don't need a knife, just cut it with a fork. Not even a fork, but I got it with a plastic fork. I'm like, that's a little much, dude. All right, what I'm saying is, taste and see. Listen to me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, bless me. Don't just bless me. Bless me indeed. And when you taste and see that the Lord is good, what do you naturally do out of that overflow? You just talk about him. Amen. You just talk about him, man. You just talk about him. See, I can brag on my wife all day long. Why? Because I tasted and see that she is good. Amen. I can brag on my Jesus too. Because I taste and see that he is good, boy. And taste and see. You know what else I can brag on? It's my church. Sweet House. Why? Because I tasted and see that the church is good, man. It's a good house. You see, the things that we like and that mean something to us, we'll talk about. Loki might have got a sweet red Mustang. Is that a Mustang or a Corvette? Corvette? Oh, see, I like cuss. I call it a Mustang, right? Yeah, it's wrong. It's sweet. Hang around Logan long enough, he'll talk about it. Hang around him long enough, he'll talk about it, and then he'll come by and pick you up like he did my wife. And if he really likes you, he'll let you drive it. Amen? Right? So what I'm saying is, you got stuff in your life, you good. And you, if you love it and you taste it and God's been good to you, talk about it and share about it and make much of it, because that's what we're here to do. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. We talked about that you would bless me indeed. So some people cannot pray that, or they won't pray that. You say, why not? Some people can't do it. They already feel like that they're already blessed because they received eternal life. They get heaven. They're walking on streets of gold. And so they feel like they cannot ask God for more. Can I say something to you? He wants you to. He wants you to. It absolutely thrills the heart of God for his kids to ask to be blessed. That's how he set it up. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you. Walk in my ways. I want to open heaven and bring heaven to earth. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. But they already feel they're blessed. They don't pray it. Or they don't feel like they're worthy. How can I ask for more, man, when he's given me so much? I understand. But he gave you more so he could give you more. So he can make much of you. In return, he makes much of him. Okay? Some feel that they're more spiritual if they don't pray. Well, Jeff, you know, I just can't pray that. I'm like, dude, God wants you to pray that. Pray that. And sometimes it's a religious spirit that won't let them do it. Like they're super spiritual, like they're beyond touch, okay? But listen to me, that thrills his heart when we pray that. Scripture tells us in Matthew 7 that how much more would a father who's evil give good gifts to his children than the father himself, whoo, wants to give good gifts to his kids. He says the father, what's the heavenly father gonna do? Give you a snake? No, he's not. He's gonna bless your life. It blesses him to bless you. Why? Because what he has set in motion is that when he blesses us, that we in return would bless others. And that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. See, some people think it's prosperity gospel. Name it, claim it. You know, God told me to ask my church to give me millions of dollars to buy a plane so I can fly all over the world and share Christ. See, what we do in this world is we swing a pendulum over here and we go too far, and we swing it way over here too far. And God says, how about we just swing it right here? Swing it right here. See, this prayer, God, that you would bless me indeed, is not name it, claim it. It is not prosperity gospel. It is the prayer that God set up for his people. God, that you would bless me. That's what he wants. Because when he blesses us, we in return are a blessing to others. It comes with responsibility. Being blessed comes with responsibility, okay? That's why some people don't pray it. Jeremiah 15:16 ends this way. For we bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. See, whatever comes my way, I know came from him. Simple as that. If it came from anything and anybody, anything, it really came from the Father. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above, everything. And he gives good gifts and blesses his children and makes favor, both God and man, for his kids to do what? So that we might walk in that, but also we might glorify him while we walk in it. Listen to me. When we receive from the Lord, we turn around and give glory to God. When God does something in your family, does something with your children, gives an honor, gives a blessing, gives a raise, gives a job, gives blessing, gives favor, every bit of that is so that we, you and I, would make much of him. That's what it's about. If we stay quiet, then he should stay quiet. If we make much of him, he's gonna continue to trust us with it. If we stand on a mountain and say, look what I did, look at me, God has a way of going, squishing us down. Glorify him because he wants to bless you. What Jabez said was, I'm gonna walk in what God's put in place. And I'm gonna walk in it and I'm gonna pray, God, that you would bless me. You bless me indeed. And I'm gonna tell you, God blessed him. Blessed him. Notice what Jabez did. He left it entirely up to God to decide what blessing, what it would be, where, when, and how. Moses said in Exodus 33:18, "Now show me your glory." If you remember that text, Moses said to God, "God, don't send me up from here. Don't send your people up from here unless your spirit goes with us. What will distinguish me and these people from all the other people on the face of the earth unless you go with us?" Boy, what a prayer. And it says that God did that. Did the very thing. He said, "I'll do the very thing you've asked." And Moses says, "Show me your glory." I want God to bless the church. I cry for it every day. God bless the church house. But the church house has a responsibility in that blessing for us to take that out and say, "Show me your glory." For us as a little church, God, that you would bless me. Bless me indeed. From that, these feet that he made must take me out into a mission field. And I say, "God, show me your glory. Show me your glory." In a place I walk into, restaurant, store, anything, that when I walk in, I'm absolutely understanding that I'm walking into a mission field. Walking into it. I'm not there to get milk or bread or butter. Oh, I'll get that eventually. But what I'm there for is for the people that you already have set up in that store for me to encounter, for you to show your glory. That's it. And I'll get beer off a top rack for a little lady, if that's what it takes. If she'll look at me and say, "Sonny, will you get me one more?" And I'm like, "You go, girl, I'll get you another." And that's a true story that happened at Walmart. So, and then she winked at me 2 aisles over and I was like, "Uh-oh, we ain't going there, Grandma. I'm just saying, that's sweet of you, but we ain't going there." So what I'm saying is, let yourself pray that. Let yourself ask the God of Israel that. Because God wants to bless you. He set it up to bless his people, the kids. Why? So that he can show off through them. He wants to bless you to bless someone else. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, church. As we close this morning, I want you to understand something. We're the only thing that limits God's bounty. We are. See, God says we have not because we ask not. And this is not a prosperity thing. This is a father wanting to give good gifts to his kids. And so today, I'm gonna ask you, don't limit the Father's bounty. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless us as a nation. We are rich in America. But the minute we forget the fountain in which we've received our blessing, he's gonna turn it off. Don't let us as a church, little church, corporate church, big church, turn off the blessing of God. God, that you would bless me and bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. So the minister teams are in the back, altars wide open. On this Memorial Day weekend, when we think about all that we have as a nation and how God has so richly blessed America, remember who went before us to give us what we have in America, but also remember who went to Calvary to give us what we have today. And his desire is to bless us. Let's ask for it. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thanks for meeting us here. God, thanks for setting up blessings for your kids. God, we're so rich. We could stay here all day and say thank you for all that you've done for us. Calvary was a ton, but you've done so much more. So God, we say thank you. We say we love you, we honor you, we praise you. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now, you stir the hearts of your people, you speak their names. And God, I pray that they are obedient right now to whatever you have said to them. For some of us in here, we just need to let ourselves say, God, bless me indeed. And then get ready for it. So God, meet us now, move us now. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word pray to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.